much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hey, fellas, knock off all that high society crap and play some of this. 1, 2, 3, 4.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Hey, Joe, you're going to want to hear this, man. You're dying to hear this. I'm changing my name to Bob Toe. So what do you think about that? Because change it to a Caucasian name, because I'm thinking, yeah, because I'm thinking about changing my name to Bob Toe.
The one called Smelly Hippie is right.
And now,
AM radio is a viable and modern source for news and entertainment.
Totally.
I used to be number one in this town, but people don't listen to AM like they used to. Seems like it's more about FM and color TV.
That's stupid.
It sure is, Kevin.
Our feature presentation.
That's the joke, is that my way of arguing is just saying things are stupid.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, I think they probably based writing that movie on listening to this show. That's my guess.
Well, I think it served me well.
I think it's no coincidence that the guy's name is Kevin. Do you?
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Wednesday, the 21st of August.
It is. Have you guys ever been in the right place at the right time? Like, just the timing could not have been any better. You were there and that happened.
I don't know.
Yeah, nothing comes to mind, but I'm sure.
I'm sure it has happened. Yeah. I was coming out of my house one morning, started up my truck, and I saw a big wad of, you know, a big stack of $100 bills wrapped up in the driveway. And I went over and picked those up.
Yeah, you know what?
Yeah. That
was. And I went across the street and there was another one. And I just kept going all the way down the street. And yep, just one stack of $100 bills right after another. Then I went to a park.
Right.
And I saw this guy with his car door open. He was laying on a carousel.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just like $1 million maybe in a bag in his car. What?
That's,
I'm telling a story about being in the right place at the right time.
That's Breaking Bad. That was Sunday night's Breaking Bad.
Oh, that wasn't me.
No.
From the moment he said, I got in my truck.
Yeah, that was, it was
right
odd.
Right there. You don't have a truck.
Back when I was living in Albuquerque and I was 80. That was when that happened.
No.
Okay, that wasn't.
That was okay. Breaking Bad. That was not
that you. Wasn't me. I'm starting to confuse TV with real life.
Aaron Paul's character is very confused and guilty over all the money he made, so he's giving it all away.
He certainly is. Yeah. He's definitely having some issues. Not a lot of dialogue from Aaron Paul this season.
Not a lot of dialogue from anyone. That show, if you were to take away the close-ups of people thinking, it would be a 14-minute show.
It's very true. Here's a story that maybe is a guy in the right place at the right time. His name is Joseph Hardman. He is a 15-year veteran paramedic with the Detroit Emergency Medical Services. He was transporting a patient in an ambulance who was suffering a heart attack. This happened last Friday. He's in an ambulance on his way to the hospital. He is performing CPR on this patient when he himself starts to have a heart attack.
What?
Oh, my God.
He's a paramedic in the ambulance. Now he's having a heart attack while he's giving CPR to another guy having a heart
attack. Can you catch that?
I don't think it works that way. Sympathetic pains, you know, pregnancy.
Wow.
They were on their way, fortunately, to Detroit Medical Center's Harper Hutzel Hospital. So, like I said, right place, right time. He's already on his way to a hospital, and he has other paramedics with him, I assume. At least one other guy driving the truck, I would think, right?
Yeah.
A spokesperson for the paramedic union told the Detroit Free Press he nearly died. He had to go to surgery. He is in fact laying three beds over from the guy that he was bringing to the hospital.
Wow.
The original patient and the EMT had identical stents put in to remove blockages. The EMT guy, again, Joseph Hardman, his blockage was in the widowmaker artery, the doctor told WXYZ. And I assume that's the worst artery to have a blockage in?
I would say probably just based on the name.
Yeah, it sounds like maybe that's the biggest of them. So you're blocking the most blood, I guess, at that point.
Do you think he laid down and he told the patient, your turn? And the patient did it as long as he could and said, your turn?
Both patients are recovering. According to local news station, Hardman, the EMT, had no history of heart problems. This was a total surprise to him that he had a heart attack. Obviously, he's a paramedic. He's in good shape. He will spend several months recuperating before he can return to work. That's what we do. That's why we do what we do, because that's what we live for, he told CBS News in Detroit. That's what being a paramedic is all about, to go from a state of death or near death to watching the person walk out of the hospital with their family several days later. But it's according to this story, he continued to administer CPR while he was experiencing experienced his own heart attack. Got them both to the hospital. Took the patient in first and then said, hey, maybe I need to lay down too.
Wow.
Give that man a medal.
No kidding.
Seriously. That's very impressive.
Let him move anywhere outside of Detroit. Well, we should relocate him for free.
Sounds like a guy like that might be needed in Detroit. There's very few bright spots in their city right now. So well done, sir.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Micho, shall we?
There wouldn't be a swine flu if we treated the pigs better.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought of that. Miles Teller will be here talking about the spectacular now.
Yes.
Very charming young man, Lisa. You will fall very deeply in love with him.
Oh, I'm excited.
He's a young John Cusack. That's what he is.
We also have, the phone-in topic is routine surgeries gone wrong. Just for no reason. Just for no reason. Not
came
related.
Came up in the...
In the rotation.
Yeah.
Not related in any way to...
That.
What?
Is there a way perhaps we could save that until after I've survived my surgery this week?
We've had this on the list for a long time. Yeah. It's been coming up, like Lisa said.
Like, I'm not afraid enough of something going wrong with anesthesia.
I don't know what you're talking about. Sharni Vinson from the movie You're Next.
I'm not next to go see that movie, I'll tell you that.
Brand new Beanstalk Corner. There is a 123-year-old man.
That's unbelievable.
They've discovered.
He used to do a talk show on CNN, right? And now he's on the internet?
No, that's Larry King.
Oh.
He's about 122, but he's still not the oldest.
I can just about walk. I can't hardly walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
And brand new Beans Death Corner as well.
Okay.
Coming up today. And Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat now. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
The Neighborhood on the way, also Foo Fighters of Monsters and Man, and the new one from Super Color Frog coming up here in minutes.
Yeah. Kevin and Bean Show. Favorite new band.
Oh, they're so good. Yeah. Just heard about them yesterday. I just can't stop thinking about them. First, Ralph has the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday.
The Foo Fighters of Monsters and Men would be a great mega group to put those guys together.
Sounds like a Japanese monster movie.
The Foo Fighters of Monsters and Men. They fight foos, they fight monsters and men, and cages and lasers. Awesome. Let's take a look at the showbiz news this morning. It helps if you're going to get an accident in New York City to do it near Dr. Oz's studio, apparently. Dr. Oz helped save a British tourist's life yesterday in New York City. I don't know if we should go, guys. People are getting hurt over there.
Sounds dangerous.
Yeah. Hmm. A taxi cab was trying to avoid a bicyclist outside of Rockefeller Center, swerved, lost control, hit a 23-year-old girl as she was crossing the street.
Oh, my God.
Girl's leg was severed in the incident. Dr. Oz heard the crash, came out of his studio, rushed down to the scene of the accident to try to be some assistance. But as he got there, he found out that a New York City plumber named David Justino was already applying a tourniquet to the girl's leg. Dr. Oz said, Justino saved the girl's life.
How about that?
So a doctor, you're the one time in your life where a celebrity shows up to help you, and it's an actual doctor, and a plumber's already taking care of you. That's what you want. That's New York City in a nutshell right there.
So he pistol-whipped the plumber so he could take credit for the save, right?
No, he didn't. He did assist after the plumber had already applied the tourniquet, but he said his quick thinking really was the thing that saved the girl's life. So
how about that?
He was able to administer additional first aid until paramedics arrived, but that's pretty cool.
I don't feel like I would know what to do if somebody lost a leg in a traffic accident in front of me.
I've seen movies, Bean. It's easy tourniquet.
Yeah, it makes sense that if she's profusely bleeding from the stump, you would want to curtail that as quickly as possible.
Right.
Kevin would buy her a drink, which I think is a nice gesture.
You need to feel good.
While we're talking about old Ozzy, interesting.
That's Dr. Oz?
Yeah. Interesting list from TV Guide about the biggest moneymakers in television. You know how we love our lists around here.
Sure. Is it from Forbes?
No.
Because that's what they do.
Oddly enough, this is from TV Guide. The survey breaks the salaries of the stars down into six different categories. I think you're going to be surprised by some of the answers. For example, Dr. Oz, I thought, would be up there in daytime and syndicated TV. But he's not even on the top five.
Really?
Yeah. Aisha Tyler from The Talk.
What?
Gets $500,000 an episode.
An episode?
Per year. I'm sorry. Per year.
Okay.
Sharon Osbourne is from the same show. The Talk gets $1 million a year. Michael Strahan from Live with Kelly and Michaels making $4 million a year on that show.
Ooh. Wow.
Katie Couric, with her TV talk show, Katie, makes $10 million a year.
Jeez.
And I don't think people are even watching that show.
I don't either.
And, of course, our perennial. We know who the number one daytime reality show
was. Snooki?
No.
Farrah Abramson?
No. Kevin. Judge Judy.
Judge Judy.
Judge Judy. The leap from Katie Kirk to Judge Judy is significant. She makes $47 million a year.
That's baloney. It doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't, Judy. Newscasters. Chris Cuomo from CNN makes $2.5 million a year. Scott Pelley. I'm Scott Pelley from CBS. $5 million a year. Megyn Kelly on Fox News Channel, $6 million. Rachel Maddow from MSNBC makes $7 million a year.
Wow. Wow. I mean, she is the whole network's biggest star,
she
I guess.
She is, yeah. But she's funny, too. I think she's good.
She is.
Matt Lauer. Not, I thought it'd be like a primetime anchorman. Those used to be the big money getters.
Used to be, yeah.
But I guess nobody cares anymore.
Yeah. Doesn't Pelley do the CBS Evening News?
He may. I don't know. Maybe that's the problem with why they're not paying evening news anchors anymore, because I don't really follow them anymore. Matt Lauer is making $25 mil.
I'm wow. sorry?
$25 million.
What
a
was
year.
Number two?
$7
million. $7
million. Rachel Maddow.
Wow.
Late night television. Andy Cohen is fifth with Watch What Happens Live over there on Bravo with $2 million a year. Jimmy Kimmel.
I think it was right. Kimmel.
Kimmel.
He's on cable, right?
Yeah. $10 million a year. A mere $10 million a year. That's what he's
good for.
Nice job, dumbass.
David Letterman, $20 mil. Jay Leno, a little over $20 mil. Highest paying guy in late night. Who do you think? Not Letterman, not Leno, not Jimmy.
How could it not be?
Not Conan.
Boy, I don't know.
You're going to be surprised.
I am. Who?
You're not surprised yet. I didn't tell you, Lisa.
No,
John Stewart of The Daily Show.
Wow. Really? He makes more than $20 million a year?
He makes north of $25 million. They estimate around $27 million a year.
No. I didn't think...
Yes.
No.
Yes.
I think I'm with Bean. I deny that.
Yes, that's what he makes.
Misprint.
No not a misprint.
Isn't Comedy Central sort of known for lowballing everybody, paying them nothing?
Now we know
that
why.
That show takes home Emmy after Emmy after
Guess
Emmy.
When it comes to that particular show, they need to make everybody happy over there.
He's great on it. I mean, I don't begrudge him that, but
they
wow.
don't want him to go anywhere else. That's
crazy.
That's the thing.
It is a little bit...
Yeah, and a lot of people have come after him. It is a little bit shocking, though, that one of the major networks, the NBCs, ABCs, CBSs of the world, with hour-long shows, are being paid so much less than a guy who's on a cable half-hour show.
How about that?
Wow.
Told you you'd be surprised. I'm running out of time, so I'm just going to hit some of the highlights. Reality shows.
Reality shows.
Howard Stern's number one. $15 million per year for America's Got Talent. Comedy series?
Mm-hmm.
You know who's getting paid the most there, right?
Is it
Ashton Kutcher?
Charlie Sheen?
Kutcher, yeah. Kutcher's making $750,000 per episode.
Well, it's worth it. He's really brought that show.
$750,000 per episode.
Yeah.
For example, in comparison, number five is Max Greenfield from New Girl, who's making $75,000 per episode.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. And then in the dramatic series, Tatiana Maslany. Maslany from Orphan Black.
Yes.
She's fifth on the list with $50,000 per episode.
Fantastic.
Good for her.
Number one.
But she has to split that with six other
That's
people.
That's true. It does cut in.
See,
Peter Dinklage from Game of Thrones is making $150,000 per episode. Claire Danes is making $250,000. She's second for Homeland. It's so silly to me. I mean, God bless them, but, you know, late night shows, you get out there, you talk for an hour, you interview and stuff and everything. They're making... tens of millions of dollars a year. These actors are working their ass off 14, 18 hours a day to put a show on the television. Like Tatiana, she's playing 19 different characters.
Yeah.
Making $50,000 an episode. Number one in drama is Mark Harmon with NCIS.
Really?
Yeah. Making $225,000 per episode. Plus, he's got a piece of the pie, too. He gets a little back end action. So.
That's the show none of us watch except for our parents.
He's pretty dreamy.
And he is pretty dreamy. Former quarterback, you know, UCLA.
That's right.
Really?
Yeah. He's a Bruin. Today's celebrity birthdays. R.J. Mitt. He plays Walter White Jr. on Breaking Bad. 21 years old today. Comedian Bo Burnham is 23. Hayden Panettiere, 24 years old today. Brody Jenner. I'm going to take that off the list. Right there.
Good.
Really qualify. Carrie Ann Moss, 43 years old today. Serge Tankian of System of a Down is 46.
Glendale!
And actress Kim Cattrall from Sex and the City is 57 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
How about a brand new Beanstaff Corner?
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I love death.
That has to be on DJ Omar Khan's Greatest Hits album when it comes out. Isn't that one of the best theme songs he's ever done?
I would think so, yeah.
That one and Would You Like to Take That Back are two that people just find themselves singing throughout the day. They just can't stop themselves.
Hey, Dave, tell us on the air, what?
That was done by lightning.
That was lightning.
Oh, actually, no, it's Omar. Sorry. Wrong one.
Oh, thank you, Dave.
Oh, God.
Appreciate the interruption. Thank you. Yeah. One of the strangest backstories to a death at the end of this report. Please don't miss this one. It's unlike anything you've ever heard before. But first, we start in Salt Lake City. Here's a Utah woman. This is a freak accident. She is playing Wednesday morning. She is playing with some friends on a trampoline. Kevin, I'm sure you've done this, probably been out with the kids, jumping up and down on a trampoline. Everybody loves that, right?
I've done it without the kids, yes.
She sits down on the trampoline to put her shoes on when they're done. And at that moment, a large gust of wind came up, lifted the trampoline and the woman off the ground, carried them both about 50 yards before she was dropped to the ground and killed instantly in a freak accident.
Oh, my God.
Trampoline NATO.
I don't know that Sci-Fi Channel needs to make a movie about it, but is
that's
that crazy?
Crazy.
She's jumping up and down on the trampoline, everything's fine. You thought the story was going to end when she comes down, she hits her head, she breaks her back. No, nothing like that. Trampoline was fine, had all the playtime she wanted with her friends. She was the last one on, putting on her shoes. Boom. In the air, like a tornado. It was just a freak wind accident. Crazy, right?
Wow.
Here's the worst status update ever, maybe in the history of Facebook. This one comes out of Florida. He's a South Miami man who is one of those guys, and there are a lot of them these days, who's 31 years old, just shares his life online, always putting up photos of his tattoos, of his meals, of his drinks, of his boating tips, him playing sports. He's loves to write. He's authored 6 online books about spirituality, saving the world, hunting ghosts. Just got a lot to say, this guy. His last Facebook post said that he had shot and killed his wife and posted a photo of her body laying on the kitchen floor. Put it up on his Facebook post before he went down to the police station to turn himself in. Here's what he wrote. I'm going to prison or death sentence for killing my wife. I love you guys. I miss you guys. Take care. Facebook people, you'll see me in the news. Then he drove to the police station, turned himself in, turned out to all be true.
What the hell?
Horrible human being.
Who worst status update ever, right?
Love you, peeps.
I would think so, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Real quick, there are 3 stories in today's Bean's Death Corner, all about people who fell out of windows. 3 of them. One is a guy at a bachelor party in Black Hawk, Colorado. He's Dick Anderson, 29 years old.
So Black Hawk and Dick, both in the same story.
Sitting on the ledge of an open window on the 11th floor of the Lady Luck Hotel and Casino when the screen on which he was leaning gave way. He fell to his death, 29 years old, at a bachelor party. Wasn't even drinking, by the way.
Oh, gosh.
Then in New York, a 35-year-old woman on a first date plummeted to her death when she fell from the balcony of a 17th floor New York City apartment.
She probably had higher hopes for that first date than that.
So did he, by the way.
Yeah.
So did he. So she did. And then out of the Sun newspaper, a Chinese couple fell out of their apartment window to their deaths while they were making love. They were pressed up against the window. The window turned out to be unstable. It broke. They fell to the ground. There's a picture in the article of their naked bodies laying at the base of the apartment building. That's how they went. They died while having sex, pushed up against the window.
Oh,
is that crazy?
God.
But really, isn't that how you want to go?
Well,
I mean,
people
not
would
necessarily
say yes.
falling, but the whole sex
right.
thing.
A lot of people say if they have their choice on how to die, they hope it's while they're having sex.
Sure.
Exactly. All right, here's the story I told you about. His name is Martin Manley. He is a Kansas City sports writer, very popular, been writing sports for many, many years in Kansas City. A little bit of a celebrity there. His last post to his website was his suicide note. He said, the reason for my departure, this is going to be my last column, the reason for my departure is 100% within my ability to control. You see, earlier today, I committed suicide, and I created this website to deal with the many questions that a person would rightfully have. He decided a year and a half ago that he was going to kill himself on his 60th birthday.
Why?
which he did. At the top of the website, it says, Martin Manley, My Life and Death, born 8-15-53, died 8-15-13, age 60. He said that he's starting to lose his memory. He says he suffers no physical illnesses, no depression, no financial needs, no loneliness, or any other troubles commonly associated with suicide, but he was afraid of the loss of control that could cause him to end his life. He did not want to be an old person who was going to be vulnerable and would start forgetting things and would need help. So he decided, hey, I'm 60, I'm in good health, my affairs are taken care of, I'm going to go out now while I'm on top. I feel like I'm a winner. I'd rather choose my time of exit than have it be a sloppy, long decline to the end.
I've been that way since I was 8.
Yeah, I'm going to say, overreaction to some memory trouble.
Doesn't it seem like the guy might have had a... I mean, he's really smart and articulate. He's got this successful sports business.
He's not that smart.
Well, I don't know. He says, I began to see the problems that come with age some time ago. Again, reading from his page, which is still up, by the way. You can look at a year and a half of posts that he wrote in preparation. It's the longest suicide note in history. I was sick of leaving the garage door open overnight. I was sick of forgetting to zip up when I put on my pants. I was sick of forgetting the names of friends. I was sick of going downstairs and having no idea why. Am I reading your life here, Kevin?
Has there ever been anybody that left a suicide note that said, I'm sick of zipping up my pants? Seriously.
I was sick of watching a movie, going to my account on IMDb to type up a review and realizing that I'd already seen it, and worse, I had already written a review for it. I was sick of having to dig through the trash to find an envelope that was sent to me so I could remember my own address, especially since I've lived in the same place for 9 years.
Okay. I'm starting to see his point. He sounds like he's getting Alzheimer's.
I didn't want to end up putting super glue in my eyes thinking it was eye drops because I suffer from dementia. I didn't want to be able to exist being unable to type on a keyboard because of Parkinson's or drive a car or recognize the people I love. He just goes on and on about all the things. It's starting to get bad for him. He didn't want to get worse. He did not want to be one of those old people. So he ended up putting up a suicide note, and it really has created quite a sensation with people talking about right or wrong. Do you understand where he's coming from? What would you do? I mean, it's a fascinating story, I think. And that is how we wrap up. A little something to think about on this edition of Bean's Death Corner.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
I'm not sure we need to take phone calls on people who have been in for routine surgeries and had terrible things happen to them. I don't know that
that's just a random topic. It's been on the list. It just came up today. Right. It just happened to come up today.
Nothing we can do about that.
We're going to be looking for your calls in about 20 minutes or so on that. Here's a guy who's never had surgery. Here's a guy who's never been seriously ill. He is 123 years old.
Supposedly, the oldest person ever.
Yeah.
No one has ever.
Oh, that's
ever,
a record?
Yes. The record before was 122.
Wow.
He lives in Bolivia. He has never in his 123 years been more than 50 miles away from where he was born. And apparently he's a very active person, but beyond that, I can't see. I mean, it doesn't seem like he has access to excellent medical care or a great diet or anything like that. I can't see what it is that this dude is doing that would allow him to live so long. I mean, he was born in 1890, you guys. Right? 1890.
Look, we talked in Bean's Death Corner about that dude that just didn't want to go on because of problems with old age.
Right.
Right.
123. I don't know how many of us would want to live that long. I don't.
I wouldn't be sharp, I'll tell you that.
I'm not sharp now.
Right?
Imagine me then.
You're not going to believe this, but deep in the jungles of Bolivia, producer Dave was able to track down the oldest man ever.
Fantastic.
Carmelo Flores Laura joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is a herder, by the way, by occupation. Hi, Carmelo. Welcome.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, we're good. How do you feel today?
I feel so happy and good today.
Because you are the oldest person in the world, and that makes you very excited?
Come on.
No, that's not why.
We were just guessing how a person could possibly live to be 123.
Yes.
And
was your guess?
Well, we don't know. We didn't really have a good guess. We wouldn't have picked cocaine, though, I don't think.
And then you're stupid.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Cocaine. It's the greatest thing ever made
okay.
by man or God.
That's good to know. Now, what about food? What kinds of food or drink do you partake, Carmelo?
I drink water that comes from the mountains.
Okay.
I eat coca leaves.
Okay. Coca leaves.
I eat coca cake.
Right.
Occasionally, I have a cocoa muffin.
Okay.
Right.
Coca cookie.
A lot of coca.
Coca stew.
All right.
Coca soup. Mutton a la coca.
All right. So a lot of coca. You live at 13,000 feet in a tiny...
Wait, hold on.
Don't... You just... Wow, that's a lot of cocaine for an old man.
Oh, my goodness, that's so good.
Listen to this. You live in a straw... I don't know why I'm telling you this. You know this. But you live in a straw-roofed dirt floor hut.
I do.
In a tiny village.
That explains so much.
Yes.
I sweep and sweep and sweep, and this floor
never gets clean.
Never gets clean, because it's made of dirt.
I wasted 80 years sweeping the floor of my straw-roofed hut.
Yeah. You live in a tiny village 13,000 feet up near Lake Titicaca.
123 years later, that still makes me laugh. Titicaca.
That's the name of it. That's the name of the lake.
Titicaca.
Right, that's the name of the lake.
That's what it's called. Right, exactly.
Titicaca.
You have no teeth, but you walk without a cane, and you don't wear glasses. That's unbelievable that you still have good enough vision to get by without glasses.
Oh, I didn't say my vision is good. I just don't wear glasses.
Oh, I see.
I can't see. Is that a big problem?
We don't have a goddamn glasses place here.
Well, I guess you wouldn't.
Not
that
a lot
sense.
Of ophthalmologists.
At Lake Titicaca?
Lake Titicaca.
What advice, before we go here, Carmelo, the world's oldest man, what advice do you have for young people who would like to also live to be an advanced age?
You must stay active.
Stay active.
Mm-hmm. I walk every day.
Okay, walking.
You don't go anywhere near drink alcohol.
Don't drink alcohol?
No, no alcohol.
Okay.
And...
Wait, is that a llama?
That's my llama, my pet llama.
What?
Yes, her name is Dolly.
Come on.
Dolly Llama.
Come on.
Hello, Dolly.
You heard that one too? Okay.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 7.
Ralph is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday morning. What's up, Ralph?
If something bad can't happen to the Kardashians, at least I can rejoice when something bad happens to their friends.
All right.
A dude named Jonathan Shaban, who apparently is one of Kim Kardashian's best friends. And so, according to the New York Post, this colossal douchebag, this a-hole of mythic proportions, went on his Instagram page and posted a photo of his new $500,000 watch.
Oh, man.
Look at my watch. Look at my $500,000 watch. Look at me. I have this. You don't. It's on. Let me take a picture and put it up on Instagram.
Wow.
Suck it. I have a $500,000 watch on. Not a good idea. He was out to lunch in the Hamptons, and bystanders say a stranger came out of nowhere, started asking him some questions, pushed him to the ground, and ripped the watch off his wrist.
I hope the thief then posted a picture of
I'm having the best.
But yes. That would have been awesome.
Who owns this now? #douchebag.
That's awesome.
A security guard at the restaurant tried to stop the thief, but he got away. And the watch is still missing.
Love it.
That is... some Robin Hood-ass right there. That's what that is. That's pretty strong. Taylor Swift has a new buddy. I'm sorry, Tadoff Swindler. Tadoff Swindler, succubus, daughter, spawn of Satan. She's got a new girlfriend who's giving her some guidance on how to get through her life being an international superstar.
Well, it's got to be tough to be Taylor Swift.
Oh, can you imagine? Julia Roberts. Word is the two have become very close, and... J-Row is giving T-Swizzle advice on everything from love to fitness.
All right.
Julia Roberts says, you need to steer clear of actors and singers when dating. And also says, Taylor should try yoga to calm her mind and manage stress. Julia also recommended she get a huge effing vein in her forehead. Apparently that works, has worked well
it's
for
weird
her
advice.
Yeah. We're going to New York City.
Woohoo.
New York City. Get a rope. String them up. Just announced, this is why Broadway's the best. This is going to happen on Broadway. Kenneth Branagh and Alex Kingston are going to play Macbeth and Lady Macbeth on Broadway.
That is super exciting. Kevin will love
it. Awesome. Macbeth is a great play. And those two actors are just powerhouses. And that's why Broadway is the best entertainment in America.
Take it easy.
In a related story, LaToya Jackson has just signed on to do a show on Broadway.
Really?
Yeah.
What is she going to do?
She's going to star in something called Newsical the Musical. And she will start performing in that Broadway musical on September the 3rd.
Why?
Will she last a week?
I don't know. She's taking over for the current star of Newsical the Musical, Jack A. Jack A, apparently, is
okay.
Currently the
lead.
That name in 20 years.
I haven't either. Who knew?
She was the black lady on Designing Women? Is that right?
No. She was on a show called 227.
Okay, sorry.
With Marla Gibbs. It was a sitcom about an African-American family who lived in this neighborhood, and their address was 227, so it was called 227.
Quite a pedigree.
Regina King played the daughter on there. Marla Gibbs was the housekeeper from the Jeffersons, and Jack A. She used to talk like that a lot. You remember Jack A?
Yes.
Just barely.
I never saw that. Apparently, Newsical the Musical turns headlines into punchlines.
Oh, I see.
That's apparently what they do.
That's what they do?
Who better to do a topical musical show than LaToya Jackson?
They won't be able to hear her. She just whispers through life.
Bizarre.
She is a ghost.
Oh, my God. Carson Kressley was in that show at one point,
too. Oh, it just gets better. And here's the thing. Here's what you do. Put Paul McCartney on your wedding invite list. New York Daily News is reporting that Paul and his wife, Nancy Chevelle, were invited to the wedding of the Brooklyn Nets CEO, Brett Yormark, and his wife, Alina Scotto. So Paul McCartney goes to the wedding, and naturally, as soon as the band spots Paul McCartney walk into the festivities, they strike up Let It Be. They're playing Let It Be in the background, right? So everybody starts laughing, and it's cute. Paul decides to get up on the bandstand and sing to the other members of the wedding reception.
Wow.
No Beatles songs, apparently, but he did all kinds of American popular standards tunes and sang for quite some time, entertaining the crowd. Posed for pictures with anyone who would ask, said one wedding goer.
No kidding.
Took pictures with everybody. Was just a prince. No one could have been happier with his behavior. Performed for everybody and took photos. Nobody seems to enjoy being a celebrity more than Paul McCartney.
That's true.
He tails it with such grace and style, and he's been one of the most famous people in the world for 50 years, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, you see some of these tantrums that these, you know, Biebers of the world throw, and then you look at like a guy like Paul McCartney, who really deserves. I mean, like it would be fair if he threw tantrums because he's freaking Paul McCartney.
Right,
he's contributed enough, right?
Yes,
but he just, like you said, he just couldn't handle it any better.
He's trying to make up for that freedom song.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
Stain on his career,
a little guilt.
I thought marrying the one-legged bitch maybe got her out of hot water for that. Isn't it square? Are we square now? Freedom plus having to marry her?
Why do you got to come at Eileen like that?
Her name was not Eileen.
Yes, it was.
It was really?
No, Kevin.
It was Heather, remember? Heather.
It was Heather,
Heather Mills.
Heather Mills.
Yeah.
Was it really?
I didn't know.
I was showing a part of us. I did not know XYKGLKKPPP.
You know who we're talking about, right, Kevin? Paul McCartney. He was in a band called The Beatles.
Not ringing a bell.
I'm stupid. Absurd. There's no Beatles.
Beatles are dumb.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Comedian Bo Burnham is 23 years old today. Hayden Panettiere celebrates her 24th birthday. Carrie Ann Moss, the lovely and talented actress, is 43. Serge Tankian, wake up! System of a Down, he is 46 years old, and actress Kim Cattrall, you know her as Samantha on Sex.
I made a Nobel judgment there. Please tell me if I'm wrong, you guys.
I'll tell you.
I'm all right with that.
Porky's Mannequin Kim Cattrall, you'd be hard-pressed to find anyone more bell-worthy.
True.
And then just, I don't know what's gone wrong. Something's horribly wrong.
Yeah, I think she lost the bell.
too skinny, I think. Too skinny. He's starting to look a little emaciated.
And too much being on Sex and the City, I think, has also colored my opinion a little bit.
No, that's a negative. That's a negative. That's a strike against.
Dear Diary, I don't know why people don't like Sex and the City. I've always felt it really changed my life. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hear my whole thing. I was fine about surgeries. I never had any problems. I wasn't afraid of surgeries. They didn't bother me. I thought almost everything you go in for is routine with professionals and lots of oversight.
That's
lots of assistance.
That's all true.
And then about 15 years ago, I saw that goddamn special on Fox about people who don't go under properly on anesthesia.
And they wake up during the surgery, right?
Oh, yeah.
They're awake. They get the anesthesia that's supposed to knock them out, and they're paralyzed. The first part of the anesthesia works where they're paralyzed, so they can't scream or move, but they're still awake and alert, and they can feel everything. And we saw all these people on TV who were getting their ribs cracked open for heart surgery and things, and they're awake for it and felt it all. And ever since then, I mean, I think that affected me more than any TV show I've ever seen in terms of having nightmares about it, in terms of that being my world's worst fear, is you go into the hospital and the anesthesia doesn't work.
I don't know why you're trying to make this about you. This came up on the wheel of call-in topics.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, I'm having surgery.
So
I'm going under anesthesia. I'm having surgery
on
Friday.
This is not about you.
I'm getting my gallbladder out this week. Why are we talking about surgical disasters?
If you've had routine surgeries, surgeries that aren't supposed to be that bad, go south. We need to talk to you at 1-800-520-1067. This has nothing to do with you, Bean. Nothing at all. Especially if something's gone wrong with a gallbladder surgery.
Why would you want to put that in my head before they wheel me into the operating room?
I don't know. I just wrote gallbladder in parentheses. So we must have talked about something about 6 months ago.
Yeah, I think it was. It was about 6 months ago.
We came up with the topic.
And,
coincidence.
We heard some story, and we just thought,
that's fascinating when routine surgery goes south.
Yeah.
So we'd like to talk to you, the K-Rock audience.
Today's the day.
If you have any stories about routine surgery.
1-800-520-1067. How did you spell gall in that gallbladder when you wrote it down?
I spelled it G-A-U-L.
Close
the French way.
O-N-T-T-E-R, by the way. I didn't just stop there. But let's just say that you had some type of surgery that's routine. It didn't have to be gallbladder, but of course that would be best.
Here's the problem, is that the anesthesia is my biggest fear, but that's just one of many things. Look, I read a lot of news, and every single month I see a story about somebody, they left gauze in a person, or they left scissors, or they stitched them up wrong, or they took out the wrong organ, or took off the wrong leg.
Right.
I mean, there's lots of things that can go wrong, because you know what? It's still human beings who are in charge of these operations, and they make mistakes. Dave sent out a story, for instance, about a 66-year-old man in Georgia who went in to get kidney stones removed. Sounds pretty easy surgery, right?
Pretty routine, right?
Well, apparently, the anesthesiologist had problems with the breathing tube that they put down his throat. Took him 3 times to get the breathing tube in, and then they had even more problems when it was removed, and the man ended up having his larynx or something collapsed. He ended up being without oxygen to his brain for 90 minutes.
90 minutes?
90 minutes. Of course, then they finally got it worked out, and of course, by then he was brain dead, so they pulled the plug on him. So that was a guy who just went in for kidney stones.
Please,
next thing you know, he's in a coma
dear
and then
God,
dead.
Listen, please, God, listen to our prayer.
How are you going to come at me?
You? What? This has nothing to do with you. We're talking about routine surgeries gone wrong. That's all.
Let's talk to Andrea, I guess, online.
Some people have to make
five.
Everything about them.
I know. So self-centered.
Hi, Andrea.
Hi. A couple years ago, I had gallbladder surgery. Mm-hmm. And at the end of my surgery, I guess, I woke up, but I couldn't move or anything.
My worst fear ever!
I could hear them and feel them, like, suturing me up at the end.
Oh, dear God.
But I couldn't say anything. And
was that totally scary? Did you panic?
Super scary. Yeah, I was, like, panicking. But I guess they were done. But
was it the worst thing that ever happened in your entire life?
The worst.
Oh, I can imagine.
It's like a dream, you know, where people are stabbing you and you can't
you
run.
You can't wake up.
Right, you guys. I get it. It was scary.
That's
and it was bad and it shouldn't
we're
have happened.
We're not talking about you.
Horrible.
We're talking to Andrea.
Andrea, what did they say when you said to them afterwards, hey, you didn't give me enough anesthesia, I woke up? What did they tell you?
They didn't talk to me, so they didn't really care.
Nice.
Oh, my God.
Done and done.
Best case scenario.
Goodbye, girl.
Thank you, Andrea. Thank God that's the only call.
Oh, we got plenty. The lines are full.
Oh, come on.
Let's talk to Daniel. Hello, Daniel.
Hi, Daniel.
Hey, good morning. I had my gallbladder removed, laparoscopically.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were removing one of the instruments, they nicked my liver.
They nicked your liver?
Yeah, they nicked my liver, and I had internal bleeding. I went from being pale, and I had like about 8 units of blood loss. I went from being pale, since it nicked the liver, it's the thing that filters, you know, everything that's bad in your body.
Right.
I went from being pale to jaundice. So I ended up spending about 2 weeks in the hospital because of it. And it was, like you said, it was like simple routine surgery.
Right, nothing. And laparoscopic, you said.
Yeah, laparoscopic, yeah.
What could go wrong?
And, I had a massive blood loss. And then...
Sweet.
I know, right?
He was in the hospital for 2 weeks. He went in. He thought he'd be home the next day. He was there for 2 weeks.
We got it. That's in the past. Why are you so worried, Bean? Daniel's past.
No, that's what they said. They're like, I wasn't supposed to be home the next day. I was supposed to be home that very day, like within 4 hours of having everything done.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, there was nothing big deal about it. But yeah, I ended up spending 2 weeks in it.
That must have been a nightmare.
Oh, it sucked because then the neighbor I had was horrible.
Oh.
But yeah, it was like, oh man, it was pretty bad. And to this day, every time I try to tie my shoe, because this happened about 2 years ago, the side where my liver's at, it still hurts. Every time
What?
Constant lifelong pain.
Hurts?
All right, that's fine. Thank you very much for the call, Daniel.
Thank you, Daniel. Bean, what's wrong with you? For God's sakes, man.
These are terrible stories.
People. What are you...
Right, but it could happen to me. I'm having the same thing done on Friday. This same thing could happen to me
Shut
with
up.
Anesthesia.
1-800-520-1067 is the number.
It's the worst phone topic we've ever done.
We've done this many times.
We
it
have.
Always goes well. It's always fascinating to hear people who had, problems with routine surgeries.
And when you say many times, you mean whenever somebody we know has to have surgery and they're terrified already. The last time we did this was 9 months ago before I got a kidney taken out. Remember?
Was it?
Hey,
no,
everything's
I don't remember
not
that.
About you.
That's news
Dear Kevin
to me.
And Bean, Jen writes in, colonoscopy after work? Yes. Did I feel them start cutting on my insides with a heated lasso knife tool? Yes, I did. Ombra on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. I went in to get my gallbladder removed. They scraped my pancreas. I got pancreatitis and a massive blood infection. I was stuck in the hospital for 2 weeks. I finally checked out against my doctor's wishes. Elaine, hey, I had my gallbladder out too, cutting muscle, etc. I woke on the table to hear the doctors talking about their boats. The surgeon didn't believe me the next day, so he started quizzing me. He asked what we talked about. He still didn't believe me until I told him his boat make and model number. Then he realized I was really awake. So apparently gallbladder surgery is not the easy in and out and then you go home that we might hope it might be.
Can I tell you what some of this might be related to is propofol for reals.
Oh, because really?
I get that when I get my back procedures done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's a drug that knocks you out immediately, but as soon as they stop giving it to you, you wake up.
Right.
So
right,
I don't know.
Right.
I don't know if that has something to do with it or not, but you wake up really quickly after that. Christina tweeted, my uncle had his gallbladder out and the hospital gave him E. coli and he almost died. So you got that.
So in other words, anesthesia isn't all you have to worry about.
Right.
There's still
of course
other
not.
Ways they can screw
A lot of
out.
Sick people in the hospital.
Right.
All right. Let's try to, let's talk to Katie. Katie's on line 4. It's shocking, by the way, how many of our listeners have had their gallbladders out.
Yeah, we're having this discussion yesterday. We're saying we should probably open it up to general, surgeries because how many people have their gallbladders out?
Yeah.
Well, Katie's one of them. How did it go, Katie?
It didn't go so well. It's supposed to be a day surgery, laparoscopic, but they managed to nick a major artery.
Nick a major artery, okay.
Yes. So they had to open me up to sew the artery back or fix the artery.
Right.
And I lost so much blood I had to have 3 blood transfusions.
Wow. Oh, my God. So that's a lot of time in hospitals.
Yeah, it was like a week over Christmas about 2 years ago.
Nothing better at Christmas time, huh?
Hey, Katie, let me ask you this. When something like that happens and it's completely the doctor's fault, do you end up having to pay for any of that? Or do you get anything extra for that? Do they pay you because of all the inconvenience? What happens?
Well, we ended up writing a letter to the surgeon, and he was kind of a jerk about it.
Yeah.
So we ended up not paying for any of the hospital stay or anything like that because it was
Bean goes right to how much did it cost.
Well, I was wondering that as well.
Thank you, Katie, for the call.
Yeah, because it seems like it's certainly not your fault. All right, let's go to Liz. She's on line two. I think if you weren't listening 15 minutes ago, my biggest fear in the world is anesthesia not working properly.
Stop
and being
talking about yourself.
And being awake during the surgery and feeling it. But Liz, that never happens, right?
It kind of did. So I had a deviated septum that was being fixed. I had asthma, and at the time I didn't know that anesthesia and asthma could be really tricky.
Oh, I didn't know
that either. I woke up in the middle of the surgery, couldn't breathe, couldn't move to tell them I couldn't breathe, but knew I couldn't breathe and could hear them saying, she's not breathing, she's not breathing.
Oh, sweet.
Oh, my God.
I could feel them intubate me. I couldn't feel them slicing me open, but I couldn't feel the pain, but I knew what they were doing because I could feel the actual sensation.
Right.
So they ended up intubating me in about, I don't know, it felt like 20 minutes, but it was probably only about 3. And right afterwards, I just kind of passed back out. But the next day, I completely remembered it, totally traumatized. I was okay, but my leg started flailing on the surgery table. It was a big, crazy mess.
Oh, my God.
Mess is what we're looking for. Thank you.
And what did they say when you told the doctors afterwards that you were awake?
They didn't say anything. They just said, oh, yeah, you know, that happens sometimes. Asthma and anesthesia can be a little bit tricky. But, I mean, I neglected to say that the anesthesiologist should have caught that on my chart. I really think he didn't.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. Scary stuff. Thank you so much for the call. All right. We're done. We got to
end with Peter.
Well, I think we're out of time. We got one more. We got a guest coming up we should get
but
to.
But I think if we take one more, we'll be just right on time. Hi, Peter.
Good morning, party people.
What happened?
Nothing party about these people right now.
What happened?
About a year ago, I had my gallbladder removed. They said it was going to be routine, laparoscopic.
Laparoscopic, by the way, means they go in just through your belly button, and it's a 15-minute procedure.
Very minor.
You're out running a marathon the next day.
that's what they say. You get about 5 incisions. They go in, they take it out. Apparently, mine was it ruptured. It was septic, and I died on the table.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. Hold on. You died on the table.
Yep, I died. They went out and told my wife that I stopped breathing. So
good night, everybody.
Okay, so you died. Then what?
They obviously brought me back, and ever since then, I can't eat too much spicy food or too much greasy food because you get dumping syndrome. Enjoy.
This is one of those trailers, you see it, and you go, half the people go, oh my God, I can't wait to see that movie.
That's
the other half of the people go, no, please. No, yeah. Can we play the trailer before we go to our guest?
Absolutely.
Because this is going to freak you out just hearing this. Listen up.
What is that?
Get away from the window!
What is happening?
They've been watching us for days. This wasn't a random attack.
Ah! Ah! What is that? And stay away from the window are two things I never want to say. Actress Sharni Vincent is one of the stars of your next opening in theaters on Friday, August 23rd. Hey, Sharni, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my dear. How are you?
Hi, you guys. How you doing?
We are good.
Well, we're glad you're alive. We're glad you survived. Everything I've seen about this movie makes it look unlikely that you lived. But how was making your next?
Oh, my goodness. It was crazy. It was a 4-week shoot out in the middle of Columbia, Missouri, and it was all night shoots, so I literally did not see daylight for over a month. It was quite a bizarre experience and one that I definitely enjoyed.
I bet. I mean, I don't know what it's like being on the set of one of these movies. Even though you know you're acting and even though you have all the camera people around the lights and stuff like that, it still has to be scary with some of the things that you see. I mean, when stuff pops up at you and people come at you and there's blood and knives, it still has to kind of freak you out a little bit.
It actually freaks you out a little bit more after the fact, I think, because you kind of carry it home with you a little bit in the mind, and then your mind kind of starts playing tricks on you slightly. So
do you dream of, like...
I did for a period there, start sleeping with a knife under my pillow.
Yeah. Do you dream of those guys with the animal masks on?
Yeah, you have nightmares for days about animals, and it's insane. All sorts of, you know, killer koalas. It's not fair.
Now, this is one of those movies that you don't really need to know anything going into it. You just sit there and let it unfold. Why did you want to do this movie? Are you a horror movie aficionado?
I am. I grew up very young watching horror films, and for some reason just took such a liking to them. But for this one in particular, it was more about the role and the character of Erin, and the fact that she was just this kind of ultimately sort of stand-up and cheer female heroine for a horror film, which is not something that we get too often. So I just liked the challenge of the fact that she was carrying a lot of the film, and you know, it was an action-based role, and that was everything that I was looking for.
Explain the other characters in the movie, the rest of your family, and why it's so scary that they're coming after you.
You know, this is the most dysfunctional family in Columbia, Missouri, if not in America, and I think that it's one of those very relatable scenarios where, you know, even though we're in the midst of mayhem and ultimate drama, you've still got this underlying sense of humor through the characters that are carrying you through, and so it's a nice kind of counteract for the scariness that's happening on the outside of the house with the killers, and then you've got this comedy slash terror happening on the inside. So it's giving the audience a really nice tonal shift, and it's uncommon that you get that blend in a horror movie.
Now, I've been reading some about this director of your film, who sounds like a very very talented guy, very creative guy. But didn't he cast, as a lot of the other roles in the film, other directors? And what was that like, having a bunch of people on set who are all directors?
Yeah, he did. You know, he cast a lot of the people that he had worked with before, and you know, they're like a tight family knit group. And even though they are actors, they're also directors. And I mean, Ty West, Amy Simons, Joe Swanberg. We had those three in our film, and they're all amazing directors of this genre specifically as well. But the thing that was great about that was it just brought a greater sense of knowledge to our set, to what it was that we were trying to achieve. So it was like, listen to everybody because they all know best.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you have everybody telling you what to do? And at some point, did you have to say, I have a director?
Actually, you know, that was one of the best things on this set, because usually you have a very much an order of sort of status quo on a set, you know, ranging from the director at the top, your producers, and then you're going through the cast. But the greatest thing with this was that we accepted and really appreciated input from anyone, from, you know, obviously the director all the way down to the grips. It was such a team collaboration, and the effort that I think we all put in making that work as a team is the final result, and it shines through, I think.
We're talking to actress Sharni Vincent here on The Kevin and Bean Show. She is the star of Your Next, which is a horror movie that's coming out on Friday. And this is a movie that you filmed a couple of years ago, and it ran into some Hollywood problems with studios and changing hands. Were you afraid that it may not never come out?
Yes, there was definitely a period there of, you know, which required ultimate patience that I don't really have. So it was it's been a very interesting couple of years, and we were concerned at some point that maybe we wouldn't get our chance. But I think you've always got to trust in Lionsgate. You know, they are the kings of horror movies, and they know what they're doing. So everything has its time and its place.
We don't know a lot about making movies.
We're out Friday.
I'm sorry. We don't know a lot about movies, but it seems to us like it's a miracle any movie gets made.
True. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it just seems like
it gets released.
Very few people really know what's going on, and everybody's trying, and you can hit so many roadblocks, and there's so many people that have to do their job right to make it work.
Yes, exactly. So it is a miracle, you're right, when it comes out, and it's even more of a miracle when people actually like the work that you've done. So we're just really grateful that we've had this two-year break, because we've been able to screen it at multiple festivals, and so far the reaction has just been astounding.
Yeah, the word of mouth has been great. It is called a nonstop edge-of-your-seat home invasion bloodbath, which is exactly the kind of movie that people are looking for.
I'm in.
It comes out on Friday. It looks terrifying and terrific. Sharni, you are awesome. Thanks so much for coming on The Kevin Bean Show. We enjoyed talking to you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, you guys.
Thank you, Sharni. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
Miles Teller is the actor's name. He is in The Spectacular Now, also the upcoming Divergent, by the way. He's got it going on, and he joins us on The Kevin and Bean Show right after the top of the hour. First, though, Rob's got the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday.
I do have showbiz news coming up, including some great news. Be very exciting for those of you who care about Case Stew and our pets.
I've got great news. It looks like they're going to get back together, everybody. Phew! I was a little worried because I thought, you know, they've had ups and downs before, but, you know, they've always got back together again. Now, lately, it seems like they've really genuinely split up.
I thought that we don't have to care about them anymore now that there aren't any more Twilight movies.
Case to our Pats! Sources are telling Us Weekly Magazine that the two of them had a very intense conversation at her home earlier this month, and it looks like they'll be picking up where they left off.
Oh,
woo!
Right?
Woo!
Outstanding!
It's good news. America's sweethearts are back together again.
And that's what I'm talking about!
Meanwhile, Perez Hilton says that Arpatz is giving up the movie, the acting business. He's going to be making music his number one priority.
All right.
So, no more acting, just music from Arpatz.
Thank God.
Well, that's where his true gift lies.
Misses music.
Guitar is his only friend, I've heard.
That's true.
Disneyland's announced they're going to add a Thor attraction.
Woo! Really?
To the theme park. How awesome is that?
I guess it's good.
It's so awesome!
All right.
They're going to help plug the release of Marvel Studios' Thor the Dark World this November, of course. Daily Variety says guests at Disneyland will be able to visit mighty Asgard and come face-to-face with Thor himself. And then Thor will hit you in the balls with his hammer.
Because you're guarding your ass. You're not paying attention.
Zing! And hey, you know what time it is?
It's time to wrestle the Huff.
Yeah! It's been a while since we've heard about the Huff.
You have no idea how much paperwork I had to fill out in order to get that clip to be played during this break.
It's time to wrestle the Huff.
Huff.
Dealing with moron number one and moron number two over there, and they were all befuddled as to what I was asking
also
for.
Also, the piece of paper that says Hassle the Huff, and then Muggs is writing for about a half hour.
I don't have any clip. All I have is the regular clip. What, is there a new clip supposed to be coming
then
in?
Then Muggs got this
up. Yeah, hi, this is David Hassle.
Yeah, I knew I wasn't going to get what I was asking for. So I had to fill out in very, very specific terms on several pieces of paper that I held up exactly what I was looking for and where to find it.
And all this was happening while he was doing the first two stories.
Yeah.
It is weird that you have to petition the court. You have to go down in person and fill out paperwork and pay a fine and everything else just to get somebody to listen to you, Ralph.
It's time to hassle the Huff.
Huff.
They're hassling the Huff these days.
Now what?
Throughout New England and other parts of the Eastern Seaboard. Stealing the David Hasselhoff signs for Cumberland Farms products. Apparently, he has got a giant cardboard sign that is out in front of various convenience stores and places where you can buy this stuff for iced coffee.
Okay. He's spokesperson for the
spokesperson,
brand, right?
Yes. And they have these giant cardboard signs of Hasselhoff holding an iced coffee, and they're being stolen at an alarming rate.
Well, of course they are. Who wouldn't want to have a life-size cut out of the Hoff?
Officials say more than 500 of them have been stolen in several states in recent months.
What?
David Hasselhoff is a legend in Europe.
In Connecticut, a 36-year-old clerk at Cumberland Farms there saw a man stealing and putting two of the signs in an SUV shortly after 1 a.m. in the morning. The police, the clerk went out to stop him, but got stuck on the SUV and was dragged by the SUV and eventually landed on his head in the street.
What's wrong with that clerk? He's how much do you want to protect the Hasselhoff stand up?
Well,
let him have
it.
Let him have it. Who cares?
You don't want to get your Hoff sign stolen.
Is it worth being dragged behind a vehicle?
That guy's committed.
I think not.
Police say the clerk is hospitalized in critical condition.
Oh, my God.
And authorities are looking for suspects. Well, I'd start looking for guys with giant Hasselhoff signs.
Have you guys seen the TV commercial that he has done for this iced coffee?
Oh, yeah, where he's all over the place.
It is terrible.
Yeah, we'll play a little bit of that later.
So bad.
It's so awesome.
We got to get one of those stand-ups, by the way. That needs to be the new me for celebrity photos.
We've had a bean stand-up for 10 years. No one will take it.
The commercial is basically a parody of that Hooked on a Feeling video he did where he was flying.
Which was also terrible.
It was the worst. But I think it was supposed to be sort of on purpose, funny, cheesy.
For the people who made it, not for Hasselhoff.
Today's celebrity birthday is Kim Cattrall, 57 years old today.
It's time to hassle the Huff.
now?
Nope, covered it. Done.
Oh. We got that
you sure
covered.
You filled out the right paperwork?
I may have.
I had a repeat scheduled there.
I might have done it in triplicate. Serge Tankian of System of a Down is 46 years old. Carrie Ann Moss turns 43. Hayden Panettiere is 24. Comedian Bo Burnham celebrates his 23rd birthday. Liam Howlett of Prodigy is 42. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
No offense to the loud movies that you like, Kevin, but we're starting to get into that time of year where the quote-unquote good ones are coming out. And one of the ones that's
they
happening
can be
this
good and loud.
Well, I mean, not usually, though.
No.
One of the ones that we've been looking forward to for a long time is finally opening up this Friday. It is called The Spectacular Now, and the star of the film, actor Miles Teller, joins us in the studio right now here
Thank
on the Kevin Bean Show.
Thank you.
Hey, Miles, you know what I'm saying. This is the time of year where you start to see the movies for grown-ups. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a it's a coming-of-age story. It's a teen love story, but yeah, absolutely. I mean, my grandma was crying.
Really?
She's a grown-up. She's very grown-up. She
was she crying because she was disappointed in your acting, or did she love the movie?
Let's just say there's a sex scene. It's very uncomfortable for my grandma to watch. So she doesn't deal with her emotions properly. She started crying.
We have a lot that we want to talk to you about, Miles. We're very excited that you're here. But since you brought up that scene, what is that like for actors, for young, attractive people that are no doubt in some ways turned on by one another? What's it like to do a scene like that? That's fairly lengthy and fairly graphic.
Yeah, well, there's a great quote about being turned on in a scene like that, and I think it says, you say, ma'am, I'm sorry if I do, and I'm sorry if I don't.
So true.
I mean, you're professional about it. There's a scene that's going on, so it's obviously not your own agenda as a 25, 26-year-old guy, but... Yeah.
But it's still happening in real life.
It's all happening. I mean, it's happening even when it's not happening sometimes. So
now, if we see, what do you estimate that scene is on camera? Probably about three minutes, maybe 3 or 4 minutes, roughly.
It's have you seen it?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's a pretty long scene. Yeah. The camera the camera stays there a little longer probably than most people would want.
So probably like three times your real life?
Yeah, it's about, I'm a minute guy. I'm in it to win it in a minute. Quote
all right,
that.
I will move on, but I just have to ask, how long would 3 minutes on screen take in real life to shoot?
Honestly, for that, the whole movie, we didn't have a whole lot of time to shoot it, because it was, I think we shot the whole movie in like 25 days, so,
wow.
You know, a couple hours. Banged it out.
So to speak. No pun intended, right?
Pun intended.
The Spectacular Now is based on a novel by a man named Tim Tharp. We, of course, did not read that because why, Kevin?
We believe reading is for losers.
Exactly.
I'm on the right show.
The screenplay was written by the guys who did 500 Days of Summer, which was a phenomenal movie.
Yeah.
And that's a great pedigree. And they have a way with dialogue. They just have a way with making something that sounds like real people talk, which is just, it seems like it's so uncommon in films these days.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's Michael Weber and Scott Neustadter are the writers. They actually wrote the screenplay adaptation of The Fault in Our Stars, which is another big young adult novel people are looking forward to. Shailene's in that, and that shoots pretty soon. But yeah, I mean, they just write very realistic, natural dialogue. It's nice for an actor when you have such a strong place to start from and you don't really feel like you need to add that much.
Why is that so difficult? It seems like writing like people talk is almost impossible.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I guess, these guys, so the guys who wrote 21 and Over, they were, I believe they're like in their 40s or close to that. And I think it's hard to necessarily just stay in touch to exactly what kids are talking
how
about.
Right.
And also a lot of it's casting. I mean, Shailene and I aren't real, I guess, kind of showy actors, and I think we kind of thrive on just being very, real and present and honest. So
How old are you, Miles?
They're on it. I am 26.
So was it weird for you to play a high schooler?
Yeah, well, I was 25 when I filmed it, and it was a little weird. But like I said, I think this story just, kind of, transgresses and he just typical high school stereotypes. But yeah, when you're 25 and your character's having sex in a 16-year-old girl's bedroom. the intersection of life and art gets a little weird.
Tell people about Cedar Keeley. He's somebody you certainly root for, very likable character. He's got some problems, though. How do you describe him?
Yeah, I mean, he's a kid. His motto that he kind of tells people all the time is that you need to live in the now. So he's not somebody who is necessarily looking too far in the future. He sees high school as really this great, you know, time capsule and this moment in your life where you should really just have as much fun as you can and make friends and drink and party and just really enjoy it, because it's the only time, this is the youngest you're ever going to be, as he says. But, you know, with along those lines comes, you know, Sutter, maybe he drinks a little too much. Maybe he probably should put other people ahead of himself sometimes. And yeah, you just kind of see this kid on his on this journey through his senior year.
And that is such a real thing that people have. I mean, a lot of people are not self-aware enough to realize how easy you have it in high school when you're that age. And in some ways, it really is the best part of your life, because you'll never have fewer responsibilities than you do. But everybody realizes at some point they have to grow up, and that's the problem that your character has with Brie Larson. And she's like, look, I'm looking ahead. I'm looking toward the future. I got a plan for the rest of my life, and your guy just doesn't want to get there. And that's the interesting rub.
I don't want to talk about that stuff. That's such a downer. Why can't we just sit here with this big gulp, full of whiskey and 7-Up, make out for like 4 hours? That's high school.
Sutter is my man. All right, let's talk about a couple of ladies in the movie, because you couldn't be luckier, more lucky to be in a movie with Shailene and with Brie Larson, both of who are so beautiful and so different from each other, but incredibly attractive.
Yeah, they're both extremely talented. Shailene, when we started the movie, everybody, when they watch it, they think we really rehearsed a lot, and that's just not true. We kind of met on set. We got to know each other through, you know, shooting this movie and through these characters. But she's great. We just worked together again on Divergent. We'll be working again on the second one here, you know, in a couple months, assuming things go well. And she's, you know, a really great friend of mine at this point. And then Brie, who's extremely talented. Brie's been working, both those girls have been working since they've been like 5 or 6. So, you know, just very, very professional and not bad to look at. But yeah, I had sex scenes with both of them. So,
all right. So that's good.
Yeah. So they're different. It's funny because they were like asking, they're like, hey, what is, you know, because they just want to make sure for their characters that the way that my character interacted with them in that setting was, you know, different and special. Sure. And I'm like, girls, every time special, you're all special.
All strong.
I like it.
Gotta remember that. Miles Teller is here on the Kevin Beach Show. We're talking about the film opening Friday called The Spectacular Now. We got a lot more questions for our guests. By the way, Jennifer Jason Leigh is in this film. Mm-hmm. Mary Elizabeth Winstead. Kyle Chandler. Lisa, do you know Kyle was in it?
I didn't.
Bob Odenkirk. Awesome. Yeah, it's a great cast. Really, really good movie. We'll talk more with Miles in a moment here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Tired of all the beeping honking? Well, visit StopHonkalism.com, created by 76. It's full of honking games, facts, and other beeping information to help you make your honking ways a thing of the beeping past.
Stop doing that.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
For God's sake.
You are embarrassing us in front of our guests.
I apologize, Lisa. Miles,
seriously,
I'm sorry.
Just still upset about the dead animal.
I know, I always am.
Lisa hates to even report those. Don't they happen like 4 times a week, though, Lisa?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what? How can people not keep their animals off the freeway?
That's what I always ask myself.
Miles Teller is in studio with us. His film is called The Spectacular Now. It opens up everywhere on Friday. Don't let my Kyle Chandler play bad guys anymore, Miles. I
don't think he's your Kyle Chandler.
He's so good, though. He's really good at kind of playing I don't want to give it away, but it's definitely against everything else that you've seen Kyle Chandler in.
But please tell me in real life he's still Coach Taylor,
man,
right?
He lives in Texas. I saw him at South by Southwest. He's just like, yeah, the coolest guy.
Bean, what are you, a 12-year-old girl? No, please tell me he's cool.
I want him and Connie Britton to be married in real life. I want them to be a real life couple because they're the best parents ever. That's why.
Yeah.
Right.
It's funny when you're talking to Miles, because you're like, oh yeah, I was in that the movie Project X with him. Oh yeah, I know him from 21 Over. Oh yeah, that we did Footloose together. It's how many movies have you made, Miles? You're a kid. What's going
on? I think I'm about to start my 10th one, so I'm throwing a big party.
Were you a child actor?
No. I mean, I think I wanted to. At one point, I remember there being like this local manager kind of thing, and me and my sister went down there, and they They wanted my sister, and they had one nothing to do with me because they said my teeth were too big for my mouth. I had big, like, front teeth. So
really?
I do remember that being actually kind of crushing.
Somebody
I was upset
said
about
to
that.
You, your teeth are too big for your mouth.
Yeah.
Wow.
Dude, my
that's
piano
harsh.
Teacher said I'd never be able to play the saxophone because my teeth were too big for my mouth. Miss O'Shea.
You got that
in
a lot.
South
How
Jersey.
You like me now, Miss O'Shea?
What's up, Miss O'Shea? Might not be playing saxophone when I'm making movies, Miss O'Shea.
By the way, there's no one who's ever been sad about not being able to play the saxophone. That is not a burn, Miss O'Shea.
Well, at the time, maybe it was, but not any longer.
Yeah.
Was Rabbit Hole, was that the movie where you kind of, that was your first feature-length, full-length movie, right?
Yeah, I booked that, I guess, I was at NYU at the time, and I booked that like a month before graduation.
Oh, nice. And that was the one where you probably thought, hey, this might actually be a career. I might actually be able to do this, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the whole time I was at school, I thought, you know, that I thought that I would do acting for a living, but until it actually happens, you know, it seems like a far jump to get from, you know, acting in a classroom to actually getting paid and doing it in front of a camera. And working with somebody like Nicole Kidman and Aaron Eckhart for my first movie was pretty surreal. And I remember looking at them and just not being able to see anything other than these celebrity faces that I had seen. So that was pretty
when
wild.
When you were at NYU and you graduated, did you go up and go, Rabbit Hole. Thank you.
Drop the mic, walk
no,
off the stage.
That's how I'm rolling.
I was too busy thinking, like, it costs how much to go here? Wait. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So.
A movie like Divergent, which is a name that half the people listening are like, what? And the other half are going, squee.
Geeking out about, yeah.
Totally geeking out. I mean, that's the kind of movie that I imagine they auditioned 100 guys for. And that's the kind of movie that you go out and buy yourself a new house when you get it, right? Because you realize that's the pay dirt, right?
Quite the opposite. So I was, for that movie, honestly, the producers had just seen The Spectacular Now, and they said, hey, I know you and Shailene just kind of played love interest, but in this movie, you'd get to, you know, do some action stuff. You'd get to shoot people. You'd get to beat Shailene up. So I said, all right, sign me up.
I'm in.
And so, yeah, so I did that, and that was fun. That was like 3.5 months up in Chicago. And then, you know, it takes a while. Like, all my buddies, they think that when they come visit me, I'm just going to roll out the red carpet and I'll have like private planes
of
and
course.
Stuff. Man, yeah. It takes a while. Literally,
supermodels everywhere.
Literally, I'm living with two of my buddies from high school. My other buddy from high school is sleeping on my couch.
No.
I drive like a $6,000 car. And I mean, I don't want to complain about it. It's all good. But yeah, it takes a while. You gotta pay
your dues. I thought once you do a movie like Divergent, and for folks who don't know, it's a spectacularly, no pun intended, it's a spectacularly famous and popular book series. And I thought by now Diddy would be bringing you drinks in like gold chalices or something.
Yeah, I like Ciroc. I'll drink Ciroc with Diddy.
He hasn't shown up yet.
I have no problems with that.
when you have a series that's popular that they turn into a movie, everybody on the internet has their own idea of who these characters are. Yeah. And what they look like and who they are. Was there rabid hate against you when you were casted? Were there people out there who thought you were all wrong?
I'd say it's like 60-40, 60 love, 40 hate.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's kind of a bummer.
A good amount of hate.
That's a bummer.
I don't mind it. My character would kind of thrive off that hate. So, I mean, everyone's going to have an opinion of, you know, especially when you read a book, you have a clear image in your head of who this person is. And I think once they physicalize and put it on camera, that can kind of, you know, taint your version of the story. And then it's, you know, is it a film or is it a book? Which is the story of Divergent. So yeah. I don't really care. I play Peter. He's kind of a badass, quote unquote, villain. So if people want to hate on Peter, that's fine. Team Peter, bring it on.
Now that you're you know, rolling deep with all your rich celebrity friends,
I have so many celebrity friends. It's crazy.
It's funny.
I don't have any regular human friends. They're just all.
Well, you
super
got no time
rich,
for civilians anymore.
Famous
Come
people.
On. I heard him say 5 seconds ago he's living with people in high school.
Yeah, I went to high school with, like, Jesse Eisenberg and Andrew Garfield, really famous people.
See, there you go.
We all went to the same high school.
Who's on your wish list? Like, who's your Hollywood, like, celebrity that you're dying to meet or hang out with or be friends with in your rich fantasy life, Miles?
Kate Winslet is in Divergent, although I left literally the day she got there. So I'm looking forward to working with her and meeting her.
I would have screwed up more if I were you just to stay
Just to hang around a little bit.
A little longer. Next day.
Tom Hanks is one. I love Tom.
Yeah.
Philip Seymour Hoffman, I think, is pretty incredible. Joaquin Phoenix.
So everyone who's been nominated for an Oscar, basically,
yeah,
is on your short list of people who you want to be friends with.
I'm just trying to go for, yeah, the winners. I don't really care if they're nominated.
Sorry, Joaquin.
Actually won.
So Joaquin's off your list then, right?
No, everybody else won't walk the line.
Oh, did he win for that?
Yeah, of course he did.
Oh, that's right, because he lost
for
Gladiator.
He looks really good in Her that's coming out, too. I don't know if you saw that trailer.
Yes.
Spike Jonze won. Looks
yeah,
really
he falls
good.
In love with Siri. Yeah, that looks awesome. Right? Well, it seems like you're, with the exception of all those people living on your couch, it seems like you're living a dream. Pretty good times for you right
lonely.
Now, Miles.
I get lonely, so you know it's nice to have a guy on your couch for a couple weeks.
Yeah, of course. All right, Spectacular Now, if I can only say it, opens up everywhere on Friday. We're very excited about this movie. Again, if you missed us talking about it a few minutes ago, Bob Odenkirk in the film, Kyle Chandler in the movie, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, great cast, Brie Larson. Larson, who we love, Shailene Woodley, awesome cast, and Miles, you are really, really good in the movie, man.
Oh, thank
You're
you.
So unbelievably likable.
Appreciate
Very different
it.
Than in person, so I just want to say.
You wouldn't know, Bean, you're not here.
That's correct.
You're up in Seattle,
that
my friend.
That is correct.
You're a hell of an actor, and we really appreciate you coming in today, man. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Wednesday morning. Wednesdays are special days if you're an Adam Carolla fan, because that's when he's at the Amalfi Restaurant on North La Brea Avenue in L.A. Tonight, great show, live podcast and Mangria tasting with Greg Fitzsimmons. And then next Wednesday, Doug Benson is going to be Adam's special guest. And Adam joins us like he does every week here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And this time, I think he's not begging us for money, Kevin. I think he's through with that. I think he's put his hat away. Hey, Adam.
What's going on, man?
No, I think he's reached his goal and is still wants more.
Yeah, that's my life mission.
Okay.
Reach your goal and then ask for more. Yeah.
And you are an actual millionaire even before the fans gave you another actual $1 million.
Yeah. That's how I stay a millionaire.
I see.
Absolutely. Non-millionaires.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. The Ace Man is here. It's time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Hold on. The guy who breaks in my loafers is here.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. Yeah, the right one's still pinching a little. Take the dog with you. Take the dog with you. Yeah, it's two birds with one stone. What I do is I get the guy who breaks in the loafers to walk the dog.
Sure, absolutely.
At the same time, and that way I get a little extra bang for my buck. All right, where was I? Working my way up to number one. First off, I realized something when I went in my kids' room the other day, because the way it works around here is everyone leaves the house, and then I walk around and close and shut off all the lights and various things that are left on in closets and kids' rooms and things like that.
Right.
Really, it's funny. We should be called the Kilowatt family, but kill a watt. Like, my family hates watts. They want to kill watts. Evidently, they're angry at electricity or money or something. So I then go into the kids' room, and their lamp is on by their end table.
Right.
And then I do this move. I do the sort of weird check for a hernia, reach under the shade, feel around move. You know,
right.
Where's the switch? When the light, there's two choices. Either the light is off and it's dark in the room and you can't find the switch, or the light is on and there's that shaft of light that's coming, so you're kind of blinded and you look down, but you never see anything as you look through the lampshade.
That's true. You are taking just a risk by putting your hand up there. You don't know what's there.
Yeah, you just put, it could be a feral raccoon up in there. It's waiting to pounce. So you get up there and you feel around, and you feel, and you don't feel anything. Then you burn your hand on the bulb. Then you do this move. Must be on the base. I'll go down to the base. And then you go down to the base, you look at it, and you start spinning the thing around a little, and you're like, hey, there's no switch here. And then you go, well, maybe it's that thing where it's 3 foot down the cord.
Right, sure.
By the way, I have stayed in hotel rooms where the switch for the lamp was 3 foot down the cord behind the desk against the wall.
Right.
Really?
Right.
I gotta move furniture to get at your light switch. Well, why would I think it was there and then I couldn't find it there and it was back up top again? Maybe it's the push one. Maybe it's the twist one. Maybe I'm not feeling it right. I just realized, shouldn't we just have it the same place for all lamps?
Couldn't it be uniform?
Well, when you travel, you know that thing where you're at the hotel and the light's on and you're flicking the switch, is not doing anything, so you're under the desk looking for the cord.
Sure.
At the base. All at the base.
I like
why?
It.
All at the base.
This is why Adam is great. He's one of the smartest people I know, but turning off a light, he makes it sound like it's the hunt for Bin Laden. Everything has to be so difficult for this guy.
I had to have SEAL Team 6 unscrew the bulb. So, all right, but we just at the base... Same
all right.
Switch, every lamp, everywhere. That's it.
I want to live in Adam Carolla's America.
Thank you. I agree. Yeah.
Thank you. You are welcome, all Kevin. Right. Bean, you take your menagerie and hit the prick.
All right.
How the wife and pigs.
How the wife and pigs, exactly.
All right. Number two, serious situation going on in the Los Angeles and I think California jail system is there's a hunger strike going on, and they're talking about force feeding the inmates and whether they have the right to force feed the inmates because they're on hunger strike because they're tired of being in solitary confinement, blah blah blah. By the way, first off, if you have issues with being confined unnecessarily, perhaps you shouldn't shoot strangers. You know what I mean? It could happen. Here's a way to avoid being put in a small place with not a ton of daylight.
Sure.
Don't shoot anybody. It's just an option. I'm just throwing it out there.
All right.
But they've gone on hunger strikes because they're tired of the solitary confinement, being in the hole and lockdown and all that kind of stuff. But I also realized we are now due to release 10,000 inmates. And I just thought, if these guys would like to stop eating until their hearts stop beating, that would just be less inmates for us to release.
That would solve a lot of problems.
I'm just saying, we have prison overcrowding, so we have to release 10,000 inmates, and then we have inmates that are hunger striking. I feel like this problem is going to solve itself. And, by the way, you know that thing where the guy's on death row, but we take away his shoelaces and his belt because he's on suicide watch?
So he can't hurt himself, sure.
Anybody who was in for more than 10 years... Anyone who did more than a 10-year hitch, I would issue them a belt, and I would put a pipe up in their cell just for hanging.
And a knife.
Called a hanging pipe.
Hanging pipe, okay.
And number one, a very, very sad state of affairs. Something I stumbled onto on the podcast. I was talking about the old days when I would... tell mom I was sick, and then I would just sit home and be punished by whatever was on my 13-inch Zenith television at the time.
Sure.
And every commercial, if you remember back in those days, would be something about you getting a job, working as a nurse. There were like three truckers commercials.
Right.
You know, hi, I'm Wally Thorpe from the Wally Thorpe School of Trucking. Hi, I'm Debbie Dutton. I should know. It's like, we can get you your Class A truck driver's license in less than 3 weeks. You can making good money driving a truck. You know, was all about, we'll learn electronics at DeVry, you can be a nurse, you can get a certified welding license. Now, what's every single commercial that's on during the day if you're home and sick and watching TV? It's like, did you slip at work? Were you exposed to asbestos? Spill hot coffee in your lap? Annuity?
Mesothelioma? Whatever that is?
That's right. The point is, don't get up off the sofa. Every other commercial was, back in the day, oh, you're on a sofa, you need a job, here's a new job, driving a truck. Now it's, don't move, we're going to get you some money.
That is a brilliant observation, Adam. It's so true.
And so sad.
Yeah. It's so sad indeed. Adam Carolla, Wednesday nights at the Amalfi Restaurant on North La Brea Avenue. You get all the details at adamcarolla.com. Some fantastic guests, by the way. Greg Fitzsimmons is going to be tonight. Doug Benson next week. Don't forget, doors open at 5:30. First come, first serve. Show starts at 7. Your ticket includes a glass of delicious red or white Bangria. Thank you, Adam. We'll talk
to you
soon,
guys.
Buddy.
Thanks.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin DeVine Show at 8:53.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat. And then what happened to our little friend Psycho Mike Catherwood, who used to make such good choices?
Blech. He never now really made good choices.
Blech. He left the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
Now he's hanging out with Kris Jenner on purpose. Blech. We'll find out what's going on with little Mikey coming up in a minute. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat.
Avril Lavigne's got a new video out. Have you seen it?
I've not.
No.
I read about it.
It's called Rock and Roll. Rock and
hot.
Roll! Rock and Roll! It's one of those statements where she says, man, I'm not into that hipster music, man. I'm into rock and roll. Because she is rock and roll.
Right.
hey, you, I don't like your girlfriend. Oh, I'm sorry. For a second there, I thought you were. Rock and roll! So it's a kind of a cool video. Remember Tank Girl, that movie Tank Girl, that futuristic comic book
sort
movie?
Sort of, yeah.
She's kind of that role. She's got a helmet on, and she's fighting bad guys in the post-apocalyptic future and whatnot. And her dog drives a car and stuff. It's pretty cool.
There's a little bit of it.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
No, but Danica McKellar's in it. You may remember her as Winnie Cooper from TV's Wonder Years.
Sure do.
She has grown into quite the spectacular young lady.
Sure has.
Easy.
Take it easy.
It was fine easy. When Ralph said
I'm agreeing with you.
I know,
I'm just saying she has. She's a pretty girl. She sure has.
Ralph said it was fine, and then you just poured ugliness on it.
Creepy alert.
What?
She sure has.
I didn't see it, but I read about it.
Beautiful woman that I would like to tie up. That's, I'm not saying anything creepy.
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
I'm being... Anyway, in the video at the end, there's a car crash, and the two of them just make out. Just a big wet kiss on one another.
All right.
For those of us who grew up watching the Wonder Years, wanted to kiss Winnie Cooper. It's pretty spectacular.
Good times.
And her character's name in the video is named Winnie.
All right.
So it's just a boner's dream come true, basically.
Now, am I allowed to say that video sounds
no,
good?
You're not.
Read about it.
It's the way you asked. Yeah,
it's the way you say it.
Naomi Watts did a movie about the late Princess Diana.
Yeah, Princess Diana.
I love her.
Yeah. She looks good.
She's beautiful.
She's hot.
Read about it.
you guys are thinking of Buzz Aldrin. None of that is me. You know that, right?
Same. You two are the same person.
She said while filming the movie, there was a lot of pressure to play such a famous woman, so she would spend time with Diana in her mind while filming the movie.
I'm sorry?
And she would actually ask her permission in her mind to play the character and to act out certain moments of her life.
Did she get an answer?
Well, Kevin, you'll be happy to know she felt it was granted to her during a particularly surreal moment while filming.
Wow.
Yes, Princess Diana granted her permission to play her in that film.
Bitchin'!
Naomi Watts is talking to dead people.
What happened?
I don't know.
Bitches be crazy.
And there's more rumors about who will play the coveted Christian Grey role in the movie adaptation of the book 50 Shades of Grey. We've heard everything from Ian
Farrah
Summer.
Farrah Abramson?
No, Farrah Abramson is not in the running.
I'm Yul Gibbons.
Yul Gibbons was not in one of the...
Leonardo DiCaprio.
DiCaprio not mentioned.
Who is Krusty the Clown?
Krusty the Clown.
No,
it's Chad Mom, bitch.
Tan Mom?
Tan Bitch. We're also not in the running.
Ryan Gosling.
Nope. Ian Somerhalder of Lost was one of those names that was bandied about, but has since been retired. Garrett Hedlund, also, they talked about him. But now it looks like Charlie Hunnam.
Oh, we love him.
As the lead odds-on favorite to get the role.
Sons of Anarchy.
That's right, Sons of Anarchy, Pacific Rim also. And model Cara Delevingne is up for the role of Anastasia Steele. I have no idea who she is or what she looks like, but I approve.
I do, too.
Because she sounds way hot.
She does sound hot, yeah.
Of course, the film isn't due to be in theaters until August 1st of 2014, so we still have a lot of time, but this has been...
let me make a note.
...a hotly debated topic of casting for some time now, so we're hoping sometime soon to hear the actual word. By the way, in related news, this is fascinating, and I'm telling you this is the truth. It's been reported that in Guantanamo Bay, the most popular requested book by terrorist detainees is 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh my God, really?
God, that's such a big liar.
That's more than requested the Quran.
What?
Huh.
They're requesting 50 Shades of Grey.
Nope.com.
I guess if you're going to be tied up and beaten, you want to read a book that kind of makes it sexy. Because it makes you feel better about yourself.
Gives you a little context.
Yeah. But isn't that something?
I would think would be exactly the kind of Western sexy talk that the many Muslims would find offensive.
See,
would not want to have anything to do with.
This is what I'm saying. Now, listen to me here, people. This is my theory.
Uh-oh, Ralph's taking the serious voice.
That they say they don't like that stuff.
Right.
And when they're indoctrinated in that culture, they don't like that stuff.
Right.
But give them a little freedom. Give them a little taste throw, give him some Levi's and a Big Mac and a little porn, and I'm telling you, we could sway them all. That's how we need to fight the terrorists. Don't send drones over. Don't send missiles. Don't shoot them. Don't burn them. Don't kill them. Just drop porn and candy and jeans and MP3 players. And just bombard
drop
them.
Drop jeans?
Yes. Bombard them. Just parachute little packages down. Bombard them with our decadent, so much fun culture. And they'll be like, they're right. I don't want to kill these. This is cool. I don't want to kill these people. This is awesome.
USA!
That's
USA!
What I'm saying.
USA! 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 USA.
That's what I'm saying. USA. The culture war. We win the culture war. That's how we do it.
USA! USA! USA!
You out, Kevin?
Send him a slot machine and some cocktails.
Give me a second.
A pack of smokes. Just
Ralph,
teach him
what's fun.
Do you watch the Americans? That TV show, The Americans?
No.
These are Russians.
Oh, I've seen the Carrie Russell one. Yeah.
These are
right.
Russians who are spies
playing,
who are living in the
Americans,
United States.
Right?
And one of the plot points is the Russian dude, he lives in America for a few years undercover. He's like,
hey.
I don't know why we're fighting with these guys
exactly.
So much. I got it pretty good. This is a pretty good way to live.
I dig it. This is a good time over here. We just got to show them a good time. That's all.
That's all
we need
is.
To send? Kevin with the party bus over there. Send Kevin with the party bus over to the Middle East.
I'd do it.
Get them all on the party
Think
bus.
I wouldn't?
Like a dozen at a time. This is so good time. We're going to XYZPPP and JPQ.
USA! USA! USA!
I'm Eve W. Ladbett, and I support this message.
You round up all the terrorists, and right. Kevin takes them to Las Vegas in the party bus for the weekend.
That's what I'm saying.
And then they'll go, this is the best country I've ever lived in my life.
And then they'll go back, and they'll start building their own hotel casinos, and we'll all live happily ever after.
USA! 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 USA!
USA!
Okay.
USA! 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 USA!
USA is good. Yes, okay.
That's the American way to do it. USA! USA! Okay.
Today's celebrity birthday is Kim Cattrall's 57 years old today. Serge Tankian, wake up! Of System of a Down is 46 years old. Carrie Ann Moss is 43. Liam Howlett of Prodigy turns 42. Hayden Panettiere is 24 years old. Send him some episodes of Nashville. That'll hook him. That'll get him.
Not sure that's the answer.
I love that show. Comedian Bo Burnham's 23. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday Kevin and Bean Show.
Let's take a look at the showbiz news this morning. It helps if you're going to get an accident in New York City to do it near Dr. Oz's studio, apparently. Dr. Oz helped save a British tourist's life yesterday in New York City. I don't know if we should go, guys. People are getting hurt over there.
Sounds dangerous.
Yeah. A taxi cab was trying to avoid a bicyclist outside of Rockefeller Center, swerved, lost control, hit a 23-year-old girl as she was crossing the street.
Oh, my God.
The girl's leg was severed in the incident. Dr. Oz heard the crash, came out of his studio, rushed down to the scene of the accident to try to be some assistance. But as he got there, he found out that a New York City plumber named David Justino was already applying a tourniquet to the girl's leg. Dr. Oz said, Justino saved the girl's life.
How about that?
So a doctor, you're the one time in your life where a celebrity shows up to help you, and it's an actual doctor, and a plumber's already taking care of you. That's what you want. That's New York City in a nutshell right there.
So he pistol-whipped the plumber so he could take credit for the save, right?
No, he didn't. He did assist after the plumber had already applied the tourniquet, but he said his quick thinking really was the thing that saved the girl's life. So
how about that?
He was able to administer additional first aid until paramedics arrived, but that's pretty cool.
I don't feel like I would know what to do if somebody lost a leg in a traffic accident in front of me.
I've seen movies, Bean. It's easy tourniquet.
Yeah, it makes sense that if she's profusely bleeding from the stump, you would want to curtail that as quickly as possible.
Right.
Kevin would buy her a drink, which I think is a nice gesture.
You need to feel good.
While we're talking about old Ozzy, interesting.
That's Dr. Oz?
Yeah. Interesting list from TV Guide about the biggest moneymakers in television.
You know how we love our lists around here.
Sure. Is it from Forbes?
No.
Because that's what they do.
Oddly enough, this is from TV Guide. The survey breaks the salaries of the stars down into six different categories. I think you're going to be surprised by some of the answers. For example, Dr. Oz, I thought, would be up there in daytime and syndicated TV, but he's not even on the top five.
Really?
Yeah. Aisha Tyler from The Talk.
What?
Gets $500,000 an episode.
An episode?
Per year. I'm sorry. Per year.
Okay.
Sharon Osbourne from the same show, The Talk, gets $1 million a year. Michael Strahan from Live with Kelly and Michaels making $4 million a year on that show.
Ooh. Wow.
Katie Couric, with her TV talk show, Katie, makes $10 million a year.
Jeez.
And I don't think people are even watching that show.
I don't either.
And, of course, our perennial. We know who the number one daytime reality show
was. Snooki?
No.
Farrah Abramson?
No. Kevin, Judge Judy.
Judge Judy.
Judge Judy, the leap from Katie Couric to Judge Judy is significant. She makes $47 million a year.
That's baloney. It doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't, Judy. Newscasters. Chris Cuomo from CNN makes $2.5 million a year. Scott Pelley from CBS, $5 million a year. Megyn Kelly on Fox News Channel, $6 million. Rachel Maddow from MSNBC makes $7 million a year.
Wow. Wow. I mean, she is the whole network's biggest star,
she
I guess.
She is, yeah. But she's funny, too. I think she's good.
She is.
Matt Lauer. Not, I thought it'd be like a primetime anchorman. Those used to be the big money getters.
Used to be, yeah.
But I guess nobody cares anymore.
Yeah. Doesn't Pelley do the CBS Evening News?
He may. I don't know. Maybe that's the problem with why they're not paying evening news anchors anymore, because I don't really follow them anymore. Matt Lauer is making $25 million.
I'm wow. sorry?
$25 million.
What
a
was
year.
Number two?
$7
million. $7
million. Rachel Maddow.
Wow.
Late night television. Andy Cohen is fifth. With Watch What Happens Live over there on Bravo with $2 million a year. Jimmy Kimmel?
I think it was right. Kimmel?
Kimmel?
He's on cable, right?
Yeah. $10 million a year. A mere $10 million a year. That's what he's
good for him.
Nice job, dumbass.
David Letterman, $20 million. Jay Leno, a little over $20 million. Highest paying guy in late night. Who do you think? Not Letterman, not Leno, not Jimmy.
How could it not be?
Not Conan.
Boy, I don't know.
You're going to be surprised.
I am. Who?
You're not surprised yet. I didn't tell you, Lisa.
No,
John Stewart of The Daily Show.
Yay!
Really? He makes more than $20 million a year?
He makes north of $25 million. They estimate around $27 million a year.
No.
I didn't think...
Yes.
No.
Yes.
I think I'm with Bean. I deny that.
Yes, that's what he makes.
Misprint.
No.
Not a
misprint.
Isn't Comedy Central sort of known for lowballing everybody, paying them nothing?
Now we know why.
That show takes home Emmy after Emmy after Emmy.
Guess when it comes to that particular show, they need to make everybody happy over there.
He's great on it. I mean, I don't begrudge him that, but
they
wow.
They don't want him to go anywhere else.
That's crazy.
That's the thing.
It is a little bit...
Yeah, and a lot of people have come after him. It is a little bit shocking, though, that one of the major networks, the NBCs, ABCs, CBSs of the world, with hour-long shows, are being paid so much less than a guy who's on a cable half-hour show.
How about that?
Wow.
I told you you'd be surprised. I'm running out of time, so I'm just going to hit some of the highlights. Reality shows.
Reality shows.
Howard Stern's number one. $15 million per year for America's Got Talent. Comedy series?
Mm-hmm.
You know who's getting paid the most there, right?
Is it
Ashton Kutcher?
Charlie Sheen?
Kutcher, yeah. Kutcher's making $750,000 per episode.
Well, it's worth it. He's really brought that show.
$750,000 per episode.
Yeah.
For example, in comparison, number five is Max Greenfield from New Girl, who's making $75,000 per episode.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. And then in a dramatic series, Tatiana Maslany from Orphan Black.
Yes.
She's fifth on the list with $50,000 per episode.
Fantastic.
Good for her.
Number one.
But she has to split that with six other
That's
people.
That's true. It does cut in.
See,
Peter Dinklage from Game of Thrones is making $150,000 per episode. Claire Danes is making $250,000. She's second for Homeland. It's so silly to me. I mean, God bless them, but, you know, late night shows, you get out there, you talk for an hour, you interview and stuff, everything. They're making... tens of millions of dollars a year. These actors are working their ass off 14, 18 yeah. hours a day to put a show on the television. Like Tatiana, she's playing 19 different characters.
Yeah.
Making $50,000 an episode. Number one in drama is Mark Harmon with NCIS.
Really?
Yeah. Making $225K per episode. Plus, he's got a piece of the pie too. He gets a little back end action. So.
That's the show none of us watch except for our parents.
He's pretty dreamy.
And he is pretty dreamy. Former quarterback, you know, UCLA.
That's right.
Really?
Yeah. He's a Bruin. Today's celebrity birthdays: R.J. Mitt. He plays Walter White Jr. on Breaking Bad. 21 years old today. Comedian Bo Burnham is 23. Hayden Panettiere, 24 years old today. Brody Jenner. I'm going to take that off the list.
Right. Good.
Really qualified. Carrie Ann Moss, 43 years old today. Serge Tankian of System of a Down is 46.
Glendale!
And actress Kim Cattrall from Sex and the City is 57 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we will be broadcasting live from New York. What could go wrong with that?
New York City!
Our little friend Zachary Levi, who we spent a little bit of time with at Comic-Con last month, who is awesome, is going to be in New York at the same time with us, and he'll be on the show tomorrow.
Chuck, Chuck, Bobuck, Banana, Fana, Folk. Whoa, I don't think you
what?
Can...
Finish Chuck.
That one. Dr. Drew is also going to be on the program, a brand new internet roundup and all kinds of New York City fun.
Sounds good.
Are we all happy with that?
Nope.
See you tomorrow.
Sure.